As we head into the holidays, we have a different spin on the familiar end-of-the-year roundup. Natural disasters and a shaky economy have added up to a terrible year for a lot of people in the U.S. and around the world. But here at Tell Me More and across NPR, we wanted to celebrate people, movements, and ideas that had a good year. This week, we'll be talking about women in music, African trends in fashion, and the power of protesters across the Middle East. But today, we explore the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights movement, which scored some big victories in 2011. New York State legalized same-sex marriage, and the controversial Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, the one that barred gays and lesbians from serving openly in the military, was repealed. To look back at the year in LGBT rights, we're joined now by Kai Wright. He's a journalist who reports on race, sexuality, and health. He's also the editor of the online news site Colorlines.com, and he's the author of Drifting Toward Love, Black, Brown, Gay, and Coming of Age on the Streets of New York. Welcome, Kai.
Glad to be here.
So the first big victory for gay rights supporters we want to talk about came over the summer.
Together in partnership, we're proving tonight that people that care can truly make a difference. I vote yes. Thank you.
Ayes 33, nays 29.
That was New York State Senator Carl Krueger during the vote that approved same-sex marriage. You live in New York. What was that like, and what has it meant for the state and the country in general?
Well, it's a huge, huge deal. You know, wherever you stand on same-sex marriage, it's one of those moments where there's a before and after in terms of where the country's at on LGBT rights. And you're looking at something that was so much more broad than the question of whether I, as a gay man in New York State, have a right to get married. Legally, big states are bullies. This is true on all kinds of laws, certainly family law. And to have a state the size of New York with a law that recognizes same-sex families and gay families, it's going to be hard to move forward without squaring that with federal law and other state laws. Politically, it's really important that this was a legislative victory. You know, this wasn't a court victory. This was something that the New York State Legislature, through a long and ugly fight, came to this decision. It required the governor to invest in it personally in a really deep way. And both Democrats, who have been cautious on picking this kind of fight legislatively, and Republicans who support gay marriage, both had to kind of walk out on this in a public way that now can't really be reversed. And then culturally, I can't say enough about this is that it, you know, it forces people, when you have these big moments like this, it forces people to take a side and stand up and say, you know, what do I believe about this? And it creates a dialogue that it's hard to escape from.
Here's the thing, though, Kai. More than 30 states still have constitutional bans on gay marriage. I mean, New York is a huge state, as you said. It's a huge thing that it happened there. But how much is that going to affect what other states are doing and what people say in the Midwest or in parts of the South feel about this, where it's a little bit more conservative, and, you know?
So it's going to get messier before it gets clean, for sure. But it is really impossible for the nation to continue to have one set of family law for a state the size of New York that plays such an outsized role in our economy, in so many parts of our society, and to have federal law as well as many, many other states have different sets of laws. That is going to have to be resolved. By New York doing this, the discussion now cannot be stopped. We're going to have a resolution.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes, and we're talking about how it's been a good year for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights with journalist Kai Wright, who writes about race and sexuality and health. All right, we also saw this year the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell after 18 years. Let's listen to one reaction from that day.
It was a tearjerker. It was, because you just remember the struggles. We're here for the same thing. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to fight for that.
That was Heather Baptiste of the U.S. Air Force. Obviously, that policy had an immediate effect on gay service members, but you say that impact goes far beyond the troops. Talk to us about why.
Well, it's another one of these forcing functions, you know, so now you have all of these service members who can serve openly, who are going to build families, but those families aren't recognized by federal law. You're going to expect to see appeals both administratively and in the courts about whether or not spouses of service members are entitled to federal benefits.
What about the T in LGBT, transgender rights? On one hand, there was Chaz Bono on Dancing with the Stars, whatever you think about the dancing that was happening on there. But on the other hand, more than a quarter of transgender people surveyed by the National Center for Transgender Equality say they've experienced physical violence because of their identity. Are transgender rights lagging behind in this movement?
Well, absolutely. And I think if you go by any measure, whether you look at personal health, if you look at people who are likely to be victims of hate crime attacks, if you look at all of the things that we measure as a society as to what we consider people to be at risk when they're facing these things, you see transgender people reporting at the top. My own belief is that the real issue in all of the LGBT is the T. Gender politics is really what we're talking about here, and whether or not people fit the gender roles that we believe they should have. Now, I think what is impressive, however, and what's important is that when you look at young folks, that's the kind of politics I'm seeing develop, and that's the place where you're seeing young transgender people and young people who are lesbian and gay but who have gender identities that don't fit the stereotype, and they're standing up for themselves and they're saying, I can identify myself both sexually and as a gender however I please, and I have that right and I'm going to stand up for it.
I want to talk briefly about areas where this wasn't a good year for LGBT rights. For example, I have friends, one lives in D.C., one lives in Belarus, who still can't get married and are commuting back and forth. Is there any indication when federal law might catch up with things that are happening in New York?
Well, 2012 is going to it will likely be an eventful year. There are a number of cases winding their ways towards the Supreme Court. There's the challenge to Proposition 8, and whoever loses that will certainly appeal to the Supreme Court. There is a challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act that I believe we're waiting to see if the court will hear. There are a number of them winding their way up. And it is likely that the court will have to address one of them in 2012. So I think soon we're going to start getting more clarity, and who knows what's going to happen from there.
All right, we've got to leave it there. Kai Wright is a writer and journalist who reports on race, sexuality, and health. He is the editor of Colorlines.com and the author of Drifting Toward Love, Black, Brown, Gay, and the Coming of Age on the Streets of New York. He joined us from member station WFYI in Indianapolis. Thanks, Kai.
Thank you.